Take your Bibles tonight and turn back over there with me to Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. I mean that tonight. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I could sing like some of y'all could sing, y'all about here singing every service. Now say amen right there. I believe I'd about stop in the middle of every message and sing something. Amen. Break out in song. But y'all going to have to wait till we get to heaven for that. Amen. I want to keep my crowd. Amen. I want to keep them. I love y'all. Appreciate you. I really do. I'd like to see some more groups formed in the church. You know, Brother Johnny, you and Sister Hannah sang together. Maybe pick up somebody else. Or just keep singing together. Sing a little more often. Say amen right there. Amen. Learn you another one. Amen. Bless our hearts together in song. And I know that sometimes people feel like, well, I just get in the way. Well, if you're in God's way, you're not in my way. Say amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tonight. I'm not going to read the entire chapter again. But I want to come down to verse number 11. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11, Paul's writing to his son in the faith. And he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." He talked about covetousness in that verse before that, and they that will be rich, and those that are drowning and destruction and perdition. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And Paul says to Timothy, "O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to read the Word of God once again. Thank you, Lord, for these good songs that we've heard and the choir singing. Lord, how it speaks to my heart when I hear that song, "You Never Mentioned Him to Me." Lord, I know we've had the blessed privilege these 27 years to mention Jesus to many, many folk. Lord, I'm afraid that more times than not we've failed to mention your name. God, I pray tonight you'd forgive us and just help us. God, we can't do anything about the past, but we can, Lord, reach towards the future. We can press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd bless the Word of God as it goes forth. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name, and amen and amen. How many realizes tonight we're living in uncertain times? I began preaching this morning out of this chapter number 6. The verse sprang out, or the message sprang out of that verse number 7. The Bible said, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain." That's a real good phrase, isn't it? It is certain. In uncertain times, we want to look for some things that are certain in the Word of God. The Bible said, "It is certain that we can carry nothing out." Amen. Someone asked of a rich man one time that was buried. They said, "I wonder how much he left." And a wise old funeral director said, "All of it." Amen. Whatever it was, he left it all. Amen. And I tell you tonight, I believe God wants us to take to heart that we don't get caught up, amen, in the things of this world. That we allow God to use us as a channel. We'll say more about that later, to bless others in the work of God. this morning, the first 2 points in the message, I'm not going to go back and preach it all again, but there are certain truths in this chapter concerning our submission. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to be a submissive people, amen, as the people of God, to submit to the authority that He has placed in our lives and to those that we would look to as far as our employment and things of that nature, that the doctrine of God would be not blasphemed. And then there are certain truths concerning our substance. I didn't mean to say all that I said this morning, but I believe with all my heart I left here with a peace. I didn't feel like I preached the greatest message in the world, but I left here with a peace that I said some things that need to be said. And I didn't plan on saying them, so I give God the glory. Amen. If we're not careful, amen, we'll get caught up in the things of this world. And if we're not careful, we'll get to loving the things of this world. You say, preacher, how can you tell when you get to loving it? Well, when you get to spending more time with it than you do, my friend, your Bible, than you do in prayer, than you do with your wife, than you do with your children. Say, amen. It might be loving it a little bit too much. Amen. And God wants to help us in that area. Now, I want to come down tonight and just say some things in the latter part of the chapter. A certain truth, not only concerning our substance and our submission, but let me give you three more things tonight with the help of the good Lord. There's some certain truths in this chapter concerning our separation. Now, separation is not a Baptist doctrine. It's not a holiness doctrine. It is a holy doctrine. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a Bible doctrine. Amen. The Bible said, come out from among the world and be a separate people, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That's still Bible, amen, even in this generation that we live in. And I will say this tonight concerning that. Let's read these verses again. He said, but thou, O man of God. Now, let me ask you something. If there's something in this world that this preacher ought to run from, how many believes y'all ought to run from it too? Amen. I mean, if it's good for me to run to it, y'all ought to run to it. If it's good for me to run from it, y'all ought to run from it. Amen. And so I'm just getting you to see, it's not just for the man of God, but he's addressing Timothy, the young preacher. He said, flee these things. The first thing we need to learn how to do is run. Amen. Flee. Get away from. The Bible said, flee the very appearance of evil. How many knows if you hang around, the longer you hang around it, the harder it is to flee. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe Joseph was a good man. I believe Joseph was a godly man. But I believe he could have maybe hung around about 30 seconds longer and been in trouble with Potiphar's wife. Amen. I believe he knew his flesh well enough to know that he had to get out of Dodge and get out in a hurry. Amen. May God, the Holy Spirit, help us to know that this is a certain truth. There's a time in our life. And let me say this. It don't matter if you're 17 or 70. Amen. There's some things we just need to run from. Amen. We still got flesh. And the devil still wants to pull us down. And the flesh still will go after the things of this world. Now, there's certain truths concerning our separation. Number one, we ought to flee. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. But I just want to say this. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we preach a lot and we teach a lot and we tell our kids a lot about what to stay away from. Stay away from this. Stay away from these folk. Stay away from this substance. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from alcohol. Stay away from places that would, my friend, make provision for the flesh. Amen. But there's more to the Bible and more to Bible preaching in separation than just what to stay away from. I'll say something right now. You won't stay away long unless you figure out what you need to stay next to. He said, flee these things, but then he said, follow. There's not just the word flee, but he said, follow after righteousness. Amen. I believe that's important. Listen, I don't believe that we have any business listening to rock music. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You're never going to get by just turning the rock music off. You got to turn something else on in your life. Amen. And listen to something that'll honor God. Amen. Somebody said years ago, said, you play rock music backwards and you get the devil's message. Somebody come along and said, well, you know what you get when you play country music backwards? I said, what? Said, you get your dog back and your house back and your wife back and your job back And all, y'all got it, didn't you? Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Stuff going on in them songs we wouldn't let go on in our living room. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. So the Word of God says flee, but the Word of God says follow. The man of God's never going to be a man of God with just running from what's wrong. He's got to run to what's right. That's why the Bible said this. Paul, over there in Romans chapter 1, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Separated. How many believe that's a Bible word? But he said, unto the gospel of God. I didn't just get away from the junk, but hallelujah, let's get close to what is right. Amen. And then we can be that witness that God wants us to be. So I see here, there's certain truth concerning separation. The Bible said here, not only flee and not only follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What if we got up in the morning and just wrote those things on a 3x5 card? If we just wrote down righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. What if we just wrote those words on a 3x5 card and meditated tomorrow and said, now God, how can I follow after these in my daily routine today? You know what I mean? I'm telling you, that'd be a full-time job, would it not? Amen. Just to follow the Word of God and do what God has told us to do. He said, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, patience. Now watch verse 12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Now I'm going to say something tonight. You might not like it, but it's a truth. It's a certain truth for these uncertain times. If we're going to flee and we're going to follow, it's going to be a constant fight. I wish I had it. I'd read it to you. It's on the door in my mechanic's shop down in Sir Goinsville. But it goes something like this. It says, Lord, so far today I haven't gossiped. So far today I haven't looked at anything that's wrong. I haven't listened to anything that's wrong. And it goes on with a long list. And then it says this, but Lord, I'm fixing to get out of bed and I'm really going to need your help now. Say amen. I'm telling you, there's going to be a fight. If we're going to flee that which is wrong and follow that which is right, it's going to be a fight. And Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Now, if you're going to get in a fight, you better have some armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. If you're going to get in a fight, you better know, my friend, that it's not a carnal fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down those strongholds. The Bible said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth, and that's the one that gives life to all things. And before Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable. Now, I'm going to say some things tonight. How many believes the church used to have less spots than it's got now? How many believes that, now just stay with me a minute, amen. How many believes that the radio and the television and the internet has made it much easier to be spotted in this generation that we live in, amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Used to, they preached against the drive-in movies. Y'all with me tonight, amen, am I right? And so what happened? Oh, man, the drive-in movie, that's a thing of the past. Now you can go down here and put some money in a machine. I sit there at Walgreens about every time I go down there, somebody's taking one out and putting one in. Amen. And that's all right if it's fit to watch. But if it's not fit to watch, it's spotting our lives. Amen. If we don't learn to turn that thing off or turn that channel over. I was watching something the other day. I thought it was just as innocent as it could be. I was watching Walker, Texas Ranger. And my grandson said to me, Mommy don't want me to watch it unless it's rated G. Now you get to thinking about, just go with me. How many knows what Walker's all about? Help me just a minute. You're going to go to the bar 4 or 5 times in one episode of Walker. Am I right or am I wrong? Amen. You're going to see people kill violently. And I'm just telling you, myself included, we've been desensitized to the spots that we're carrying in this world, amen, that we live in. Well, God wants us to be separated. Now listen, I'm not giving up. You say, preacher, you mean you're not giving up on me? No, you don't understand. I'm not giving up on me. I'm going to keep trying to get myself unspotted from the world. God might use me for His honor and for His glory. Certain truths in uncertain times. I will say this. This is not original with me, but it was brought back to my mind in the camp meeting this week. We're supposed to be separated, not isolated. That means, Brother David, down there where you work, they some sinner men. God don't want you to be isolated from them. Stand over there like you're too good to talk to them. Say amen. The Bible said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. He said, I'm not praying that God will take you out of the world, but that He'll keep you from the evil that's in the world. A lot of people, they get to living for God, and they get to experiencing God's blessings. And if they're not careful, they're standing over there in the corner, and they're isolated. They're too good to talk to anybody. And what happens is, my friend, you'll become a Pharisee. You'll stand over there looking at others and judging them and seeing what's wrong in them. And God don't want us to do that, but He does want us to be separated from the world. Amen. Not isolated. How many sees the difference right there? Amen. When we get around them, they ought to know. Isaiah, I'm picking on you. Amen. It's Isaiah. I have a question mark every time I call him Isaiah. I want to call him Jeremiah. You sure you named him right, Brother Kenny? Amen. You're sure. Okay. Amen. Well, I tell you what, either one of them boys would be good than to be named after Isaiah or Jeremiah. Amen. But Isaiah, when you get around folk, they ought to notice the difference. How many believe that? Our kids that's been saved by the grace of God, they ought to notice a difference in their life. Amen. That don't mean, my friend, that they're to be arrogant, but it does mean that if they live for God, somebody will notice they don't talk like they used to. They don't look at what they used to. They don't act like they used to. I believe that's true of all of us. Certain truths concerning our separation. That we keep the commandment without spot. Well, let me give you something right here real quickly. My soul, I'm going to have to hurry. Go over here to the book of 1 John with me. Go over here to the book of 1 John with me just a minute. I'm glad there's some certain truths for these uncertain times. There's a lot of uncertainty. I know that. While we were having Bible school, they arrested two teenagers that was planning on doing some killing and destruction down here in Rogersville and down here at Volunteer High School. You say, preacher, you believe it's coming home? No, it's already come home, folks. It's already come home. It's already here. Now notice this. Watch what the Bible said. And we know, look at verse 20 of chapter 5 of 1 John. And we know, well, let me go back to verse 19. The Bible said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. You want a verse on deity? That's a good one, isn't it? Amen. This is the true God and eternal life. Look at verse number 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen? You see, there's spots. There's idols. You can go over there. I believe it's in the book of James. Said, pure and undefiled religion is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows, and that you keep yourself unspotted from the world. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't have enough time to wash your spots. Amen? I have enough spots to deal with in that mirror. And God wants us to keep ourselves. He didn't say, keep your brother unspotted. He said, keep yourselves unspotted from the world. I believe with all my heart that's a certain truth concerning our separation. Look, number four, at the certain truth concerning our Savior. Let me give you this real quickly. Sister Maggie's going to like this. You pay attention, Sister Maggie. You're going to like this, honey. Amen. Watch this. Which in times He shall show. Who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Let me just run through this real quick. I see two things right here concerning certain truths concerning our Savior. Number one, the Savior is revealed. And then number two, the Savior is revered. There's a reverence for Him. He is revealed. You say, preacher, how is He revealed? The Bible said, which in His times He shall show. Let me tell you something right now. There's people on the Supreme Court that think they're the big stuff. Are you listening to me? He'll show them. There's people in the White House that think they're the big stuff. He'll show them. I'm telling you, there's people in pulpits all across America. Amen. Preaching doctrine that's contrary to that blessed old book. But the day's coming. He'll show them. You wait till the King shows up. Amen. He'll show them. Watch what the Word of God said here. He said, preacher, when He reveals Himself, what's it going to be like? First of all, it says He's going to be the potentate, the only potentate. All powers given unto me in heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I want to make three statements right here quickly. Number one, He is Lord. He's not used to be, not going to be. Hallelujah, He is. But He's going to reveal it in a sin-benighted world. He is Lord. Secondly, not only is He Lord, but right here's where Sister Maggie's going to shout, who only hath immortality? He is life. Glory to God. Amen. He is Lord, and He is life. You say, preacher, what's going on in a man that doesn't have Him or a woman that doesn't have Him? I tell you what's going on. Nothing. They're dead in trespassing and in sin. But a man that's been saved has life and has the same immortality that God Himself has. One preacher said it like this. He said, I wouldn't get too excited. You're only going to live as long as God does. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, praise His holy name. He's Lord. He's life. And the Bible said, dwelling in the light. Not only is He Lord, and not only is He life, but He is the light. Hallelujah. This world's dark. You say, well, where do we fit into this world? Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. God said, let your light so shine before men. You say, preacher, what kind of light do we have? I'll tell you what kind we have. It's eternal light. You say, preacher, I thought it was eternal life. It is. But eternal life produces eternal light. Jesus lives in us. Amen. And thank God He wants to reveal Himself to this world around us. He wants them to see that He is the Lord. He is the life. And He is the light of this world. The Bible said no man can approach unto. You say, preacher, what's that talking about there? In His glory. We can't approach Him like this. Brother Fred, we can approach the throne of grace. The Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This thing that I live in, couldn't stand it in His presence. See, I have to have me a glorified body in order to be able to stand in His presence. In order to be able to enjoy, amen, the fullness of the blessing and looking into the blessed face of the Lord Jesus. He's the light of that city. The moon don't need to shine. The sun don't need to shine. Some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. And then you see Him revered. The Bible said, which no man can approach unto, which no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. To revere means to feel deep respect or admiration. Let me just get on something right here for just a minute. Remember a while ago I talked about pulpits. Did you know there are pulpits in America where there's a man or a woman And sometimes it's an it. They ain't figured out what they are. Standing behind pulpits. And you know what they're trying? They don't revere him. You say, preacher, what do you mean? They're not up there for him to tell them what to say. They're up there telling him what to do. But can I tell you something? They're wasting their breath. And they're wasting their time. He is Lord. And he is to be revered as such. We're not here that he might honor us. We're here to honor him. Amen. He is Lord. Feel deep respect or admiration, reverence. You know and I know, my friend, that the respect for the Lord is dwindling in this society that we live in. The respect for the Lord's house is dwindling in this society that we live in. The respect for God's man and even God's people is dwindling in this society that we live in. I believe with all of my heart, we need to maintain these certain truths in these uncertain times. God said you can be certain of this, amen, that Jesus is coming again. You can be certain of the truths concerning our Savior, concerning our separation, concerning our submission, and concerning our substance. Let me give you number 5 and I'm done. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17 with me, please. Paul said to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world. He said, I want you to charge them. I want you to tell them something for me. He said, I want you to tell them, don't be high-minded. You say, preacher, what happens when a man is rich? You might ask yourself this question. Can a man be rich and be godly? Let me answer that for you. Abraham. Somebody help me right there. Abraham. Very rich. That's why when I get to preaching over there on hell, I always try to point out that that rich man is not in hell because he's rich. Abraham was, my friend, in the presence of God there in paradise waiting on Jesus to come and get him. But listen, he wasn't there because he was rich. And the rich man wasn't in hell because he was rich. The rich man was in hell because he rejected God. And Abraham was in paradise because he believed God. Simple as that. And so what the Bible's saying here, he's saying, Timothy, you remind the rich remind them of something for me. He said, tell them not to be high-minded. Let me tell you something right now. You take a man that has great substance. Listen to me carefully. Abraham, you take a man in this generation, any generation that has great substance and walks with God, his substance does not cause him to be puffed up. His substance does not cause him to be proud. But his substance, he realizes where every good and perfect gift comes from, causes him to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. I'll tell you something right now. I feel sorry for people, amen, that envies this one and envies that one and envies this one, covets this and covets that. You say, preacher, what is covetousness? The Bible definition is idolatry. That's what covetousness is. It's idolatry. What God is saying here is, Timothy, remind them. Remind them. Just because you're rich, don't be high-minded. Then he said this, don't trust in uncertain riches. There's certain truths for uncertain times. We don't need to trust in uncertain. There's truths concerning our salvation. We don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Well, I'll tell you something right now. I don't know about you, but there have been a few times in my life, a few. Y'all may not understand this, but there have been a few times in my life that I felt like, at least, that in my heart, I was thoroughly right with God. Do y'all know that that's a powerful statement? I mean, to be thoroughly right with God. How many know what I just said when I said a few times in my life that I felt like that I was, and even the heart can deceive me, amen. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'll tell you who. He does. He knows it, amen. But the Word of God said here, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the Lord, in God, who richly giveth us all things to enjoy. I'm going to tell you something right now. I feel sorry for people that's got their trust anywhere but in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, you know what? Their trust that is in anything or anyone. I had to say that because there's a lot of false religions in the world. Say amen. A lot of them are worshiping, Brother Gale, people that are still in the tomb. They're not alive. They're dead. Very much dead. But our Savior's alive. You say, what's going to happen when the trust is in the wrong thing or in the wrong person? I tell you what's going to happen. Trouble. Big trouble. A man, a woman, or a boy, or a girl that dies without Jesus. Oh, you say, preacher, ain't nothing but trouble in this world. You ain't seen trouble till you leave this world without Jesus. You leave without Jesus, and I'm telling you, it's going to be trouble like you've never seen before. The truth, certain truth concerning our salvation. He said, watch this now. He said, charge them. He said, trust in God. Watch the verse 18, that they do good. How many knows what it means to be a Christian? A lot of people think, I'm not going to fuss at you, but they think what it means to be a Christian is to be born again. No, that was the beginning. But here's what it means to be a Christian. It means to be Christ-like. So here we are, 27 years down the road from where I met Jesus at Calvary. Can I tell you what He's doing in my life? He's trying to make me more like His Son every day that I live. Oh, you say, preacher, I thought you was already there. You're mighty wrong, and you ain't either. We're still living, we're still breathing, and He's still working on us, amen, to conform us into the image of His Son. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with this text? The Bible said He wants us to communicate. He wants us to do good. How many remembers the scripture about Jesus? He went about doing good. How many remembers that? He went about doing good. Everywhere He went, this town, this town, this town, He went about doing good. And they heard about it, did they not? And so a certain truth in this uncertain time is that our salvation is not over when we get saved. It has just begun. Amen. It's not over. It has just begun. Watch this now. That they do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to read something. You take a man that's his heart's right with God. How many's listening? You take a man or a woman's heart right with God. You don't have to take their substance and give it to somebody else. They're willing. Somebody say amen right there. You say, preacher, I don't know where that come from. Let me help you. I'm going to read a little thing that Winston Churchill said. Listen closely. This applies. Socialism will only work in two places, in heaven, where it's not needed, and in hell, where they already have it. Capitalism, listen to this, this is a great statement, is the unequal distribution of wealth. Think about this. Socialism is the equal distribution of poverty. This is a pretty smart fellow right here. You can say whatever you want to. Yeah. Now listen to what he said. He said, communism is nothing but socialism with a gun at your back. You can say whatever you want to, but he nailed her right there. Amen. Amen. You don't have people that, listen, God has blessed them. And my friend, they have what they need. And they, by the way, the Bible said that we're to work not just to have what we need, but we may be able to help somebody else. Is that Bible or not? I'm telling you something right now. Could be. Help me, somebody, right here. You may not understand the situation, but could be that in America, God's people stopped doing what God wanted them to do. And so the government had to step in there and say, hey, we'll do it. Boy, they're doing a beautiful job of it, ain't they? Say amen right there. How many knows I'm telling it right? You say, what happened about the time God's people quit? I'll tell you what happened. God was blessing this country up one side and down the other. And all of a sudden, listen, I'm not fussing. Don't nobody jump on me right here. But all of a sudden, a man couldn't make enough money. Say amen. There had to be a woman go to work too. Amen. All of a sudden, there had to be, listen, two or three or four or five vehicles. All of a sudden, there had to be a TV in every room. All of a sudden, there had to be all of this stuff. How many's with me? You say, preacher, who in the world are you preaching to? That fell in the mirror more than anybody else in this world. Amen. But God said, I want to bless you. I want to give to you. But he said, I don't want you to hoard. I don't want to give it to you just for yourself. He said, I want you to turn around and help somebody. I don't know if I ever told you the story or not, and I can't tell it in detail now because I can't remember it. My wife might could do it. But I gave away $100 four times in 24 hours and still ended up with $100. How do you do that? I gave $100 away four times in a 24-hour period. Gave this one $100. You say, why did you do that, preacher? Because the Holy Ghost of God impressed my heart to do it. And I finally was just feeling so good. My wife comes in from school and said, here, so-and-so sent this to you. And it's got $100. I looked up towards heaven, smiled. I said, I reckon, Lord, you want me to have $100. I do appreciate it. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's a God in heaven. If you haven't learned this, you need to. He will not let us outgive Him. A certain truth for uncertain times. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's very possible, Sister Brooke, I'm going to go ahead and say this. God's using you, an avenue for us to get behind and work with to be a blessing in homes in our community. It's very possible that somewhere along the way, somebody will take advantage of our church. Somebody help me right there. You say, well, preacher, I think we ought to just quit helping people. Have you lost your mind? Amen. How many of you all have ever been burnt before? Boy, I could tell you a story. I'm not going to tell you because it shames me. I got burnt so bad a while back. It shames me to tell it. Amen. Burnt. I mean burnt. I'm not talking about this church. Everybody got that right. Okay. It's before I ever come here. Okay. Rest. Amen. I got burnt bad. Burnt bad. He said, preacher, what are you going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do, bless God. I'm going to clench my fist up on whatever God gives me, and I ain't helping nobody else. Somebody help me right there. How many knows that ain't the truth? That's the furthest thing from the truth. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say, here's a certain truth. With our salvation, look at it. We've talked about our substance, our separation, our Savior. But with our salvation, he said that they do good, rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. How many knows that communicate in the Bible is not just talking about something you say? How many knows that? That's talking about our behavior. Amen? Willing to communicate. Now listen, I am preaching to the choir tonight. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm so proud of our church, I can't stand it. Amen? Because of the attitude that we have towards helping and towards meeting needs. Amen? But I tell you this, don't lose it. We want to keep the hand of God. I tell you, old Brother Sattler, their church down there getting a little bit of trouble, Brother Grizzle, financially, things would get a little bit tight. He'd get up and say, it's time to get us another missionary. He said, we need to step out by faith, get us another missionary. And here would come God again. Blessing, amen. You say, listen, that don't make sense in the eyes of man. How many believes that? I can remember... Brother Allen, I'm just saying this to you because you were down at Liberty that period. I was down there. I can remember having faith promise conferences And Brother Stennett Blue would come up and preach to us about missions. And boy, I tell you what, God's used him down through the years in my life and the lives of others. But I can remember then we would get our faith promise. And that's where people would say, well, I'm going to give, with the help of God, X amount of money every month to go towards missions. Now, we do it different around here. That's okay. I showed up here and y'all was giving 35% of the total offering to missions. I say, hallelujah. Amen. We've got 3 more missionaries this year. Fixing to get a 4th one by the help of God. Amen. You say you boast and yelp in God. That's all. In God. I'm boasting in God. We got back there and I was meeting with the deacons. And we got back there and we was counting up our faith promise, Brother David. And what we was doing is seeing if we could take on another missionary with what had been promised. And Brother Johnny, I stopped right in the middle of that. I turned them cards over and I said, what in the world is wrong with us? I said, we've asked our people to operate by faith. And now we're back here trying to see it on a card before we'll say anything about it. Amen. Before we'll recommend getting a missionary. I said, fellas, we're going to get us 2 missionaries, whether the cards say we can or not. Hallelujah. Do something by faith every once in a while. You say, what did God do? I'll tell you what God did. With a great old big B and an L and an E and an S and an S. He blessed up one side and down the other. In other words, it ain't good for a preacher or a pastor to try to tell his people to live one way while he lives another way. If it's good for y'all to live by faith, it's good for me to live by faith too. Amen. And God has been good. Well, I'm trying to quit. I really am. Let me see if there's anything else here. Look what the Bible said here. And laying up in store for themselves. How many believes we can lay up in store? The Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. He said, oh, Timothy, look at verse 20. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. He said, son, avoid profane and vain babblings. I'm going to make a statement, but I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But that's all that's coming out of pulpits in a lot of places across America is a bunch of babbling. Let me tell you this. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You can have truth coming out of a pulpit. But the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13, if it's not mixed with love, it's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It might as well be vain babbling too. Amen. Oh God, help us. No wonder Paul told Timothy, speaking the truth in love. Watch this. Oh Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. You say, preacher, what are you going to say about that? Let me just wrap it up like this. I believe in science. There's something called true science. How many's with me? I've got some pharmacists here. Amen. Amen. Is there not something to true science? Amen. Do I have any doctors here? Doctors? No doctors. Brother Gail, you're not a doctor. Okay. They asked Brother Billy Mitchell if he was a doctor, and he said, no, I'm an orderly. I go around and clean up the messes doctors make. Amen. That's what he said. Amen. There is something called true science. Why is the Bible talking about this science falsely so-called? Let me just say it like this. If they come up with something in that science that's contrary to the Word of God, you better go with the Word of God. When they get in them classes and tell you that some little blob met up with some other little blob and it washed up on the shore and it grew some legs and it stood up and it grew a tail, amen, and then it went over there and climbed up a tree and it swung by its tail and its tail fell off and it hit the ground walking, better just go with the Word of God. I'm going to make a statement. It takes more faith to believe a lie and be damned than it does to believe the truth of God's Word. I believe God created this thing in 6 days just like the Word of God said. You say, preacher, that couldn't happen in 6 literal days. You just limited the God of all glory. He can do whatever he wants to. I believe God's got sense enough to say what he meant and mean what he says. Right there in the Word of God. He said there's opposition. He said you're going to need it, Timothy. Opposition from science, falsely, so-called. He said, which some professing. I guess that word professing would be kin to the word professor. Help me. How many of y'all know we've got a lot of liberal professors in this land that have shaped an entire generation of thinking? We've got liberal preachers, liberal professors. It's all way down in the high school and the grade school. Amen. Are y'all aware that they're trying to rewrite the history books while we're preaching tonight? They're trying to pick and choose what they want to tell them out of history and turn it around. They don't want us to know. They don't want our kids to know how this country was founded. They don't want our kids to know about our forefathers. The Bible said, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. But he said, grace be with thee. Amen. How are we going to make it in this uncertain time? Grace. Brother Gale, how old are you? How old are you, brother? 85 years old. You know how you've made it this far? By grace. Amen. How old were you when you got saved, Brother Gale?
10
years old. You know how you made it to 10? By grace.
Amen.
How old are you, Brother Rossi?
I'll be 85 right away.
You'll be 85 right away. Amen. Don't forget his birthday. Amen. Amen. You know how you've made it this far? By grace. Amen. Every one of us has made it this far. You know how we're going to make it the rest of the way? I don't know if it'll happen to Charity the way that it happened to me. But after I got saved, we already had 2 children. We had Amanda and Jeremy. Brother Houston, maybe it happens to you sometimes when you think about your grandkids. But I was laying on the couch one day, and an overwhelming thought come on my mind. What have I done? Bringing children. This was in 1987, by the way. Brother Wayne, I just thought, what have we done, me and Miss Eve? Bringing youngins into this mess. That's exactly what was going on in my heart. And then guess who showed up? The Holy Ghost. You know what he told me? He said, I'll be the same for your youngins. Oh, the world's a-changing and the world's uncertain. But he said, I'll be the same for your youngins as I've been for you. I tell you, there was a peace come on that sofa. Amen. I was able to hug them babies and kiss them babies and raise them babies in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, knowing that God is able in uncertain times. I'm trying to quit. That song, Brother Ralph, I know you know it, but how sweet to hold an unborn baby and feel the pride. I might need some help here in a minute. And joy he gives. Here it is, but greater still, the calm assurance. This child, boy, listen to this word. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. Hallelujah. That wasn't in the notes. Amen. Yes, it's uncertain days, but we can face them because he lives. There's certain truths. Charity's beginning to pooch a little bit. Don't look at me when I said pooch. My pooch is different than her pooch. Amen. She's beginning to pooch out a little bit. I think really she's getting a little bit proud of it. Mama's ought to. Amen. Beginning to stick out there a little bit. Won't be long and they're going to be having one of them reveal parties. Yes, it'll have been in the fellowship hall the other day. Amen. should have been over there, shouldn't he? Amen. Mike. I knew that. What took you so long? Oh, I know what it was. It took him that long to think of her name. Amen. That's what I'm going to say anyway. Mike and Amy was having the reveal party in the fellowship hall. And Mike's mama, which would also happen to be Johnny's mama, Miss Debbie. I called her Kathy for years, didn't I? Miss Debbie said, "What do you think it's going to be, preacher?" And I said, "Well, that's easy." They had a box there, Brother Gary. It had boy, girl. Honest before God. This is what I did. I said, "Here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a mama by her toe. If she hollers, let her go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo." I said, "It's going to be a boy." Didn't I? I didn't know it, but Amy had already told Miss Eve what it was going to be. So I asked them the next day. I said, "Did you think Miss Eve told me?" They said, "Yep." Miss Eve hadn't told me. You say, "How did you get that right, preacher?" Grace. The grace of God. Amen. See, if I would have went the wrong way, brother, they'd have been calling me a false prophet, brother. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm excited about Charity's reveal party, about what the baby's going to be. But we're fixing to have a reveal party a whole lot bigger than that. Our Father is going to reveal His Son. We're going to get changed right quick so we can stand it. Amen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to go be with Him forever and ever and ever. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be wonderful? Certain truths in uncertain times. Certain truths in uncertain times. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. Lord, I've enjoyed the fellowship with Your people, with the sweet Spirit of God. God, I didn't know, well, maybe 15, 20 minutes, Lord, might be what we would wrap up with tonight. But God, Your Word is so full. God, I thank You for filling our hearts. We can't preach without You, Lord. We can't do anything without You. We can't even breathe without You, Lord. God, we need You. And I pray, Father, as we leave this church tonight, God, that we would realize we're living in very, very uncertain times. But every day when we get our Bible down and we open it, God, there's certain truth that will help us in these uncertain times. Thank You, Lord. The Apostle Paul knew that his departure was at hand. He knew that Timothy would be hanging around a while. God, I don't know how long we have here on the earth. I don't know who will be the next to meet You. I don't know, Lord, that we won't all meet You in the same load in the rapture. God, I pray tonight that You'd help us, Lord, to go about doing good. To be ready, Lord, to communicate. Lord, to be ready to help someone else along life's way. God, I believe that in America, if we don't turn, Lord, we're going to face some very, very rough water. And I pray, dear God, I know, Lord, we won't go through the great tribulation. But, Lord, we may have another great persecution before You come. God, we're not popular. And even in our country, we're not popular. The Word of God's not popular. Lord, our stand on the Word of God is not popular. I pray, God, that You would help us to live, not to be popular, but to be right in the sight of God. Lord, that which is right in the sight of God many times is not right in the sight of men. I pray, O God, tonight, help us to be right in the sight of God.